Dawa Center presents The End of Music by Sheikh Kamal al-Makki.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. Amma ba'd. The End of Music. This is a message for our believing brothers and sisters in Iman who are afflicted with listening to music or were confused by statements of scholars who said that it was permissible. This is a message for our brothers and our sisters who listen to music and their hearts have become attached to it and their emotions were moved and they were swayed by it. But we have no doubt that they're believers who long for paradise and love Allah and want to come closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla. They are our brothers and our sisters, our uncles and our parents who have been temporarily defeated by the shaitan, but we know that they inshallah can defeat him multiple times. What can I say about music and where do I begin? It has affected the hearts and swayed people away from the straight path and has caused the religion to take the back seat. It has caused people's addiction to the point where they left the Quran and abandoned the masajid. What can I say about music? If you ask someone the simplest question about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they cannot respond. If you ask them about the mothers of the believers, their own mothers, they could not even tell you their names. If you ask them about the prophets of Allah or the companions radiallahu anhum ajma'een, they cannot respond to your questions. But they can tell you about individuals who sing and curse all day and produce the worst messages for our youth, offering nothing positive to their communities or to the environment. They can tell you about those people and their childhood and where they grew up and who they married and who they're dating and what year they put out their albums. There is one study that says the youth from between the ages of 15 and 20, they listen to about 26.8 hours of music per week. About 27 hours of music per week. And those who are 55 and older, they listen to about 13 hours of music per week. And now, with it being available online for free and many devices that can carry thousands and thousands of songs, you can expect these numbers to increase. The sad part, brothers and sisters, is that any time someone commits a sin, he is using the blessing given to him by Allah Azza wa Jal to disobey Allah Azza wa Jal. And the sad thing is that we're going to be asked about all the blessings and how we use them on this earth. And hearing is one of the greatest of the blessings given to us, and Allah Azza wa Jal will ask us about what we listen to on this earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادِ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily the hearing and the sight and the heart, you will be questioned by Allah about all of these things. And so the righteous then, they have recognized that the shaitan is their enemy and they stayed away from the path that lead to the shaitan. When Allah Azza wa Jal commanded Iblis alayhi la'natullah to prostrate to Adam, Iblis refused and disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he vowed that he's going to misguide all human beings. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to Iblis some of the ways that in which he's going to use people and to take people away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jal tells him, وَاسْتَفْسِزْ مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ بِصَوْتِكَ وَأَجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ وَرَجْلِكَ وَشَارِكْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ وَعِدُهُمْ وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. In this verse, Allah Azza wa Jal tells the shaitan, and befool them gradually, those whom you can amongst them, with your voice. So what do you think would be the voice of the shaitan? And right now these verses that we're going to mention, they do not say anything about music being haram, but you start to see a kind of music being put in a bad light. But these verses are not saying that it's haram so far. But so far now we're seeing that Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling the shaitan, misguide whomever you can from humanity with your voice. So what is this voice? It includes songs and music and anything else. It's a very general term. Anything else that calls to the disobedience to Allah or calls anything away from Allah. So not just music, but this is a general term. And make assaults on them with your cavalry and infantry. And this also includes when someone is walking with their own feet to something that is haram or something that's prohibited. And share with them wealth and children. Wealth meaning tempt them to earn their money in illegal and haram ways. And their children by getting people to try to commit illegal or illicit sexual activity and make promises to them, but shaitan promises them nothing but deceit. So we're still not saying or showing ayat or evidences that it's haram, but we're starting to show that it's one of the tools of the shaitan. And before we get to the sayings of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah and the great scholars and the Imams, we want to look at some logical evidence that will tell you there is probably something wrong with music and that it's probably not halal. Just from looking at it from a distance and analyzing it, we're going to see that it's something that's not surrounded with good and it's probably something that's not halal. Because I believe that every good Muslim knows deep down in their heart that music is haram. Perhaps some of us don't want to face that reality, but deep down they know that it's haram. And this is illustrated in this story where a man came to the companion, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. And he said, Ya ibn Abbas, أَرَأَيْتَ الْغِنَىٰ أَحَلَالٌ هُوَ أَمْ حَرَامٌ? Oh ibn Abbas, this music, this singing, is it halal or haram? And here al-ghina specifically is singing. So what is he asking about? He is asking about the ghina, the singing of the A'rab, the Bedouin Arabs and their singing. This is singing that does not include talking about fornication or homosexuality. It does not show people dancing or videos, people yani wearing, I'm ashamed to say it, but you know, wearing bikinis or things of that sort or using bad words. So he's asking about this. Is this permissible? So Ibn Abbas tells him, أَرَأَيْتَ الْحَقَّ وَالْبَاطِلِ إِذَا جَاءَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَأَيْنَ يَكُونُ الْغِنَىٰ? He says, do you see the truth and falsehood? When they come forth on the Day of Judgment, which side do you think music will be on? You think it will be on the side of truth, on the side of the Prophets, on the side of the Qur'an and dhikr and psalm and salah and Allah Azza wa Jal? Or it will be on the side of falsehood? So the man said, يَكُونُ مَعَ الْبَاطِلِ, that it will be with falsehood. So Ibn Abbas says, فَمَاذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ اِذْهَبْ فَقَدْ أَفْتَيْتَ نَفْسَكَ. He tells him, what is besides the truth, meaning if it's not the truth, it's falsehood. Go, you have answered your own question by yourself. So the man knew the answer by himself, and I believe that we all know the answer. So let's look at just some of the logical evidences. We find that halal things and good things, they generally have good descriptions and good attributes. When you look at prayer, you look at fasting, reciting the Qur'an, when people gather to pray, generally good things happen in these gatherings. It's a good gathering. When people gather to recite the Qur'an, it's a good gathering. And you don't find it being surrounded by things that are haram. But things that are haram are usually surrounded with things that are haram. And look at the things that surround music. Whenever people gather around music, there are typically not gatherings of righteous people. You don't typically see the imam of the masjid in that gathering and the mashayikh and the mufti of the city. You don't find righteous people typically. And you find intermingling and women with their hair uncovered and women who are poorly dressed, and you will find alcohol and dancing and smoking, and that night usually ends with the sin of zina, fornication, wal'iyadu billah. So this is the first indication then that it's haram, because it's always accompanied and surrounded with things that are haram. The second indication then, and still without going into any of the hadith, is the feeling that you get from music. It does not bring you closer to Allah. Even the biggest music lover, get a Muslim who is the biggest music lover, he will not be pleased if he hears rap music in the masjid. Why? Because he knows this is not a feeling you're supposed to get in the masjid. We're talking about someone who is the biggest music lover in the community. If he enters the Jum'ah and he finds the imam up on the minbar with a big boom box, then the imam hits play, and then a funky beat comes over, and then the imam starts to freestyle. Yes? The biggest music lover in the audience will become upset and offended. Why? Because they know this is something that is totally opposite of the feeling that he came to get. He came to be reminded of Allah Azza wa Jal and to listen to the ayat and the Qur'an and the ahadith, which take him in one direction, but the feeling that you get from music takes you in the opposite direction. And that's why many, many years ago, the early scholars of Islam, they used to say that music and the Qur'an cannot be combined in the heart of the believer. there's not enough room in your heart for both of them. You either love one or the other. And like I said, you try that and test that when you get in someone's vehicle. You find they either have music tapes or they have Quran tapes. They listen to one or the other. And the Quran, it takes you in a direction where it prevents you from following your desires, and it commands chastity, and it commands modesty, and it controls these desires and prevents you from following the steps of the shaitan. And music takes you in a direction that's totally opposite. So of the feelings that music causes, it causes people to feel less shame. They feel a lack of shame, and they're less shy. And they're not embarrassed, male or female. You see, when there's loud music played, they're not very embarrassed to jump up and down and twirl and fall on the ground and get up again. They're not embarrassed to do that. And the women are not embarrassed to do that. Have you ever heard of a female dancer who was too shy because there were men in the room? She said, I don't want to dance, there are too many men watching me. Or I'm not dressed properly, I'm not covered right. Rarely is it associated with haya. Rarely is it associated with these feelings of iman. But you find these people, they don't care. And notice how, when people repent and they come back to Allah, they usually stop going to nightclubs and parties. Why is that? Because they know these are bad places, and these places are also associated with music. The second thing concerning the feeling that you get from music is that it causes this fitna, it causes this, it arouses desires, the sexual desires in people. And even the fitna of the voice of women. And so it's not just enough that the voice of woman is enough to stir emotions in a man, but now these female singers, they're purposely making their voice softer, and they're dancing in ways that are sexually suggestive, and they're not wearing proper clothes.